Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. What are you playing that for? I know who it is, Roy Orbison. I know Only the Lonely. I know, I get it. Okay, listener, in case you don't get it, I'm in the studio all alone. There's nobody here, only me. It's very sad on a Monday night to be sitting at a big desk with lots of microphones in front of me and nobody at them. The ghosts of Christmas past, present and future. Anyway, let's get the programme on their way and a very interesting show we have tonight. But before we call in Niall Hatch from his home in Greystones, I want you to have a listen to this sound. Now, if you're having difficulty hearing what we're broadcasting now, I don't want you to get upset. There's nothing wrong with your hearing, missus, because most people cannot hear bat echolocation. That's what we're broadcasting now because it operates at ultrasonic frequencies, I believe between 20 kilohertz and 120 kilohertz, and I'm told that's well above human hearing range. We can only hear these sounds now because somebody was using a bat detector, and it works by converting the ultrasonic echolocation calls that the bats make, which I've already said are far above human hearing, and converting it into lower frequencies that we can hear as clicks and chirps. The sound here. Some species, such as the one we're listening to now, the noctual bat, that starts in the lower ultrasonic range, and apparently young people can hear this. But at any rate, these noctual bats, we don't have them here in Ireland, but they are found in Europe. And the greater noctual is making a bit of a name for itself, and not a good name, Niall Hatch, from your home in Greystones. Tell me more.
They are. The greater noctial bat, it's Europe's largest bat species, mm-hmm. and it's a very impressive creature. We don't have them here in Ireland. They're more a bat of Eastern and Southern Europe. I have seen them in Southern France, for example. You do get them there and through parts of Spain and Italy and into sort of Western Asia as well. But it's a real brute of a bat, a big, big thing. It has a wingspan of up to 46 centimetres. So we're talking pretty substantial. So much bigger than any bat you would see in Ireland. But still, not big in terms of animals generally. It's not as big as many birds would be, for example. But it's been known to be a carnivore. And I think that what happened many years ago, researchers who were in analysing caves where this bat would roost or sleep during the day, they found droppings on the ground that had bird feathers in them. This was in Spain. And this piqued their interest. They were thinking, well, where is it catching these birds? Because bass catching birds is very rare, not just in Europe, but anywhere in the world. It's taken 25 years for researchers to be able to track this down, but there's been a paper that's just been published. The lead author is a scientist called Dr. Elena Tena. What she has confirmed is that these bats are flying up high into the sky at night, very high altitude, and they're actively hunting birds that are migrating at night. And the very gruesome tale that they've recorded here of one of these bats actually going up and hunting a robin. They have this amazing series of sounds of it pursuing the robin for about 3 minutes. The robin is alarmed. Eventually, the bat catches the robin, and the robin's not best pleased about that. And finally, there's several minutes of sound of the bat actually consuming the robin in the air. And to make it easier to carry it, so it even removed the wings from the robin before swallowing it down. Now, it's quite remarkable because that robin, it's about half the weight of the bat. So it's eating a very, very large meal indeed. And it seems that this is actually something these greater noctial bats have evolved to do. It's just we never realised it.
Was it Kipling who said, "Never the twain shall meet," or something like that? I wouldn't have thought that bats and robins would be sharing the same airspace, given that one is nocturnal and the other is diurnal.
Well, you're right. For the vast majority of the year, that is the case. So normally, when the bats are out feeding, the robins and most of the other songbirds will be tucked up asleep. And the birds that we think of as being nocturnal, like the owls, for example, they have nothing to fear from a creature like a bat. They're far too big. However, lots of songbirds on migration do migrate at night. We don't think here in Ireland of robins as being great migrants.
No.
Having said that, we do get migrant robins from elsewhere, further north in Europe, coming to us for the winter. But in a lot of Eastern Europe, where this bat occurs, you have a lot of these robins moving from the very cold weather, let's say in Scandinavia or in northern Russia, places like that, heading down towards the Mediterranean. And that maps actually quite closely with the range of this greater nocturnal bat. So it seems that they have co-evolved to take advantage of this seasonal migration. So it's really only in the autumn and in the spring, when migration is happening, that these greater nocturnal bats could reliably expect to find birds. Normally they would hunt things like large moths and other nighttime flying insects, but something like a bird is obviously going to provide them with lots and lots of protein. There have been some cases elsewhere in the world of bats managing to catch sleeping birds, but this is the first ever record of them being proven to catch them in flight, when these robins and other songbirds are migrating, thinking they're completely safe because there shouldn't be any predators out at that stage who will be able to catch them. So it's really quite unexpected.
Niall, I know your garden bird survey is underway at the moment, but last year, what was the number one bird? I ask you this for a reason.
It was the greater nocturnal bat's favourite snack, the robin.
The robin, okay. And in Britain, when they have their garden bird survey, the RSPB.
It's inevitably always the robin.
Always the robin. The reason I ask you, I was walking out of my estate the other day, and when I tell you there was a robin every 20 metres, there was a robin every 20 metres, how do I know? Ask me.
How do you know, Derek?
Have a listen. There you have the winter song of the robin.
Indeed.
And I moved about 20 metres down the footpath and there was another one singing. And there was another one. Now, I know they're very territorial at this time of year, but Niall, what's going on?
Well, that's exactly it. They're very territorial. And as the temperatures drop and food sources start to become scarcer, that territorial instinct becomes all the stronger, because they have to defend a patch that they call their own that's going to provide all their food needs. They don't want any other robin coming in. So when you hear one of them singing like that, that's a challenge to the neighbours. So of course that neighbour just down the road is going to respond, because if it doesn't, it shows itself to be weak. It might even show that it's not prepared to defend its territory. So it sings, and then of course that spurs the next one in the next garden to start singing. So what you were doing there is you're traversing several robin territories on your walk. And the fact that they were quite close together suggests to me that the gardens in the area are probably very good for birds. It suggests that there's quite a lot of food there for robins, so the robins can afford to have smaller territories than they would need if there wasn't so much food around.
Can you tell me if I'm hearing males or females, or would you have any idea?
I would have an idea, and the idea is that nobody can tell you. There's no way to know, because both the males and the females look identical and sound identical. And so at this time of year, it's pretty much impossible to tell. As far as we know, they might not be even able to tell themselves. Not that it's particularly significant to them, because it really only becomes important in the breeding season, when the male and the female would mate and would pair up and raise their chicks. But they go their separate ways outside of the breeding season. So male and female robins behave exactly the same as each other. And it's quite interesting that sort of territoriality that they have here in winter in Ireland, because we see that them singing here, but in a lot of Europe, particularly in the north and the east, exactly the places where these greater nocturnal bats are trying to hunt them when they're on the move, the robins leave there because it gets so cold. So the robin song falls silent in those parts of the world, and then you start hearing lots more of them around the Mediterranean region. But that's the reason why the robin isn't really associated at all with Christmas in much of northern and eastern Europe. So in much of Eastern Europe, and any Ukrainian listeners, for example, who are listening to us now would know this, the Christmas bird is actually the bullfinch rather than the robin, because there are no robins present during the winter months, or well, at least very few. Maybe in the very south of the country there may be some. The same goes for Poland and other countries like that. But the bullfinch, which is also the male at least, is a lovely red-coloured bird, very festive looking. It does stay during the winter, so that's the one you get in the Christmas cards rather than the robin.
I know they're very vocal at this time of year, robins, and I know they do appear on Christmas cards, but I can tell you, when you try to find them when they are singing, it's difficult enough.
Well, yes, it is. They will try to hide away a bit because when they're singing, they're giving away their location to all the predators in the neighbourhood. And they may be hungry, but there are also lots of hungry hawks and foxes and even squirrels and rats and things out there that might try to hunt them. So they will try to keep a low profile. And you will also find, and this may be what was happening when you were on your walk there, Derek, they do tend to seek out the company of humans because they, well, I was going to say they realise, they at least have evolved this behaviour, that they're safer close to a human because the humans don't mean them any harm. They feel safe enough around humans, but they also seem to realise that predators like foxes and hawks are going to avoid those humans. So it's almost like we humans have an invisible force field around us that protects those robins and keeps them safe. So it's actually no coincidence that sometimes the robins will actively seek people out in order to feel safer.
And that winter song they're singing there in Nile, is it very different to the breeding season song?
It is different. The main difference is that it's much slower. It's more sort of laid back. And to me, the winter song of the robin, it almost has a kind of melancholy tone to it. There's something sort of almost wistful about it. And then what happens? As we get into the springtime and the days are getting longer, the bird song speeds up. So the robin gets faster and faster until all of a sudden it gets to its summer song. So it's singing the same sort of notes. But because it's faster, it sounds much more jaunty and joyous and literally full of the joys of spring. So when you hear that sort of very slow song, like the one you just played there, you know that that's definitely one in the winter. It's not the breeding season one. Most birds in Ireland, of course, don't sing in the winter because they don't need to defend the territory. They just do that during the breeding season in the spring and the summer. But the robins do defend the territory all year round. And you know, robins are very aggressive towards each other.
The obvious next question is, why do robins feel they have to defend a territory and other birds don't? Presumably the other birds are still in the area.
The other birds are still in the area, and they won't come into direct competition with the robins because they would tend to eat different food. There's a little bit of overlap, but generally the robins leave them alone, but they react very aggressively towards other robins. It's just the way that they've evolved. I suppose that when you see them around your garden or on the bird table, you'll see that the robin, it isn't the most agile of birds. It's not really easy for it to compete against many other species. So it will try to take worms from the ground, but it's nowhere near as good at that as a blackbird would be, for example. It will try to come sometimes and take food from your hanging feet, but it's nowhere near as adept or as agile as a blue tit or a grey tit would be. So there's a bit of a disadvantage there. So maybe that actually they need a larger space in order to guarantee food. And if other robins are going to come in and steal that food, it could be a big problem for them. We also see at this time of year, other birds, particularly the missel thrush, a large member of the thrush family. We get lots of complaints into them in Birdwatch Ireland, and I know into Mooney Goes Wild as well. People who have a tree, like a rowan or a mountain ash or a white beam, maybe in their garden, full of berries, and they get very irked and annoyed when a missel thrush seems to chase away all the other birds. It's very aggressive because people think that all the birds should be friends and they should all cooperate. But in fact, that missel thrush, just like the robin, they have a vested interest in making sure that no other birds can get their food, because that's the difference between life and death. So that's literally get off my land. That's what they're doing.
Anyway, thank you very much indeed, Niall. I feel very lonely in the studio tonight, but that's how it goes. But in the meantime, can I just suggest to our listeners, if you're doing what I was doing, going out walking the other day, and you happen to hear a bird sing and you recognize that as a robin, spare a thought for the robin in some parts where this greater noctual bat is knocking them off, and listen to that wonderful winter song of the robin. What do you say, Niall?
Oh, absolutely. It brightens even the darkest days. We all need a bit of that at this time of year. You know, it's dark, and especially, you know, after Christmas, people find themselves at home. And, you know, Christmas isn't always the happiest time of year for a lot of people. I do recognise that. And a lot of people tell us the birds around their garden are a real lifeline for them. People really do enjoy them.
Well, we'll let you have another little listen. Niall, thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
You'll have to forgive me for the poor quality of the recording. A lot of wind noise and cars going by. But as I said, I was just walking out my estate and I heard the birds singing. So I whipped out my mobile phone and made a voice note recording. So if you happen to be in a situation like that yourself, that's what you can do. And just send it to Mooney at rte.ie.